Well, John, as we wrap up the month of April, I'm thinking it might be a pretty good time to be talking about body condition when it comes to cattle.
Oh, absolutely. I think actually it's something we can be conscious of year-round, but it's really dramatic now. If you think the typical Ohio beef herd calves in the spring, and March and April would be two of the most frequent months of calving, think about how the demands on the animal have changed. You know, we talk about body condition scoring, 1 to 9 scale, where 9 is obesely fat and 1 is scary thin, is basically the layman's terms for it. But we like to see those cows kind of being in a 5 to 6 body condition to ensure good reproductive performance. And if you kind of put your common sense hat on, you think about it, we've been feeding them a dry forage product, hay, generally through the winter, and now as hay supplies dwindle and grass is starting to green up, we turn them out on grass, and there's quite a bit of dry matter difference between the two commodities. So we have to have the cow eating quite a bit more volume of green grass just to keep up compared to medium to good quality hay. So I guess a concern that I would have is there's tons of research that shows how body condition score relates to reproduction and how quick a cow will cycle back. There is a dramatic difference when the body condition score dips below a 5. You can just about count a month difference in how quick the cow will cycle back if she's a body condition 5 versus a 4. And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of cows in that kind of condition at this time, Dave. So I guess the advice that I would offer is, you know, yes, feedstuffs are very expensive, but reproduction can be very expensive if it's not up to standard. So we've got roughly 85 days to get a cow bred or a heifer from the time she calves, if we want to keep her on a 365-day schedule. That is, she calves April 1 this year, you want her to calve April 1 in 2014. That's kind of the time frame. So it's a very delicate balance that we need to follow through with our nutrition and, you know, be very objective on our body condition scoring. Again, we don't want fat cows, but we certainly don't need thin cows because there's very, very detrimental effects when it comes to reproduction.
So, John, how much behind the eight ball did we get? Because some of that that hay that we were feeding over the winter months was not that good a quality.
Yeah, the problem started last year, Dave. You know, with the weather we had, there just wasn't great quality hay put up in the state. I mean, then there were some exceptions, and guys do a very good job, but just because of weather or other cropping enterprises, you know, we just didn't see the quality. And so when corn or byproducts are more reasonable, that's an easier option to substitute poor quality. But I would contend that even with the price of grain, when you really pencil out the cost of open cows and poor reproductive performance, it's probably money well spent to ensure that we get those cows bred. I mean, this is a crucial time. I mean, you're asking the female to do quite a bit of work, especially the two-year-old. When you think about it, a two-year-old is not physically mature, typically, to lactate for the first time and try to get rebred. You're asking her to do quite a bit. So we've racked up all this expense in getting a two-year-old into production. And if we drop the ball now and let her become open, it's just not very productive. So I guess I would encourage producers to really look at the big picture and think about how you manage your forage this year. You know, if you saw some of these problems from poor forage that we made in 2012, you know, I know Mother Nature's is a big limiting factor, but we just need to do as good a job as we can of harvesting good quality forages for the coming year.
John, as we get these cows out on pasture, any other concerns that we might have in the back of our mind?
Well, I think, you know, we always hear about problems like grass tetany. We need to make sure we have a good mineral program. I think that's be a year-round focus. But I think some of those things come into play maybe a little more at the beginning of the grazing season. You know, you think about your lawn and how it grows and how many more times you mow your yard in early spring versus the middle of the summer. We need to do a good job of grazing management, make sure these animals kind of rotate through our pastures and keep it in as lush and vegetative a state as we can. And if there are pastures to get away from us and get too mature, before they get very mature, let's make some hay if we're understocked. And so, you know, there's different strategies, I guess, again, keep in mind is try to keep it as vegetative, as high quality of forage going into them. Keep a good solid mineral program in front of them. I kind of tend to be from the school of thought that you get what you pay for with mineral. If you buy a cheap mineral, you're probably not getting the quality that you need. The ingredients may be in balance, but maybe they're not as palatable or digestible. So that's one area I would encourage producers not to skimp on, is the quality of mineral.
All right. John, anything else come to mind?
No, this is, like I said, it's an exciting time. We see new calves on the ground. You think about all the work that went into getting these calves on the ground for the past year. It's always exciting. It's a little bit like Christmas, you know. We see those new products on the ground, and hopefully producers will have a little better growing season in 2013.